24, May 24th, 2021. I'd like to ask you all to join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. City Administrator, please call the roll.
Mayor Jim Still.
Present.
Councilmembers Don Carlson.
Present.
Linda Dixon.
Here.
Lloyd Hendricks.
Present.
Mark Murphy. Not present. And Carol Silver.
Present.
City Attorney Brandon Bowen.
Present.
And myself accounted for.
All right, thank you. No disposition of absence to deal with, so we will go right into the financial report.
Unfortunately, the same issues that we were experiencing Wednesday, the May 12th, during the public budget hearing are the same issues that have prohibited Lourdes from being able to produce one. She's got an order on file with Dell, and we'll have the issue corrected as soon as possible. So there are no
financials. All right. Then we'll keep going. Next is the approval of the minutes from the April 26th meeting. Chair will entertain a motion to waive the reading and approve the minutes as written.
So moved.
Second, Councilman Carlson, do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Councilman Hendricks. All those in favor? Approval of the minutes for the record. No, we had to skip, we didn't have the financial reports. All right, and are you opposed or with the minutes? That'd be unanimous. Then it is unanimous, passes, thank you. All right, next we will adopt the agenda meeting for this meeting as written, or unless anyone has any changes.
Take a motion to adopt the meeting.
As written?
As written.
Thank you. Have a motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilperson Silver. All those in favor? And it's unanimous, we have an agenda. All right, reports. I've got a few things that I need to cover tonight. First of all, I would like to extend my appreciation to DNR and Officer Shane Baheen. As some of you may have seen on the Next Door Neighbor website, we had a very unfortunate situation, and I felt like that the DNR officer handled it as best he could under the circumstances. It was a very difficult call, and I also want to extend my appreciation to the neighbors that were there, Debbie Colebrenner and their son Will, and a gentleman named David that I had not met until that day, but it was a very taxing situation to get the poor animal out of the lake, and we were able to determine at that point what the next step was going to be, and of course, Officer Raheem took it from there. So I do appreciate them being there. What's the gentleman's name, Hoyt?
Brock.
Brock Hoyt. Karen reached out to him, and he helped get the officer, the DNR official down there to help us take care of it. So I appreciate that. I also had the pleasure of introducing a Cub Scout troop that was down here doing their crossover day on Sunday. They were going from tiger cubs to wolf cubs to bear cubs, and it was a very entertaining experience, to say the least. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Myself and the Vice President of Land Development for Beezer are in discussions about how we can remedy the situation over at Lake Cheerful. We're just now trying to work out the details and the logistics on this, but I do see us being able to reach an agreement so we can get some remedy. I appreciate the recommendation from our neighbor Bill Colbrenner, for the gentleman Chuck Wilson, who is an engineer, and he's been working with us to help us facilitate this, these meetings and this negotiation. So we'll get back to Chuck in a little bit down here on the agenda. We are still waiting for the Fulton County attorney to present their version of the intergovernmental agreement, if I'm not mistaken. I'll let you tell me.
That's correct. I spoke with the Roswell City Attorney today, and he had not yet received the first draft from the sheriff's attorney.
Okay, Fulton County attorney. All right, so we're still waiting on that. In the meantime, I had the pleasure and opportunity to attend one of the, actually was it two, because of the gas shortage. The first one didn't come off because a lot of people didn't make the trip. But I attended one of the Thursday night meetings for MPVFR, and we had some good conversations, and we got some more information. We have a couple of individuals, three individuals here representing MPVFR. They're going to speak to you guys a little bit, answer questions, tell you what they're doing, what talk to council about, what they feel like they need to be able to continue to operate the station, because we have no guarantee at this point that the situation with Roswell is a done deal. We are still just in the processes of determining if, in fact, that is a possibility. So we want to keep our support for the MPVFR, and we want to keep them engaged, because they're here for us, and we need to be here for them. So we'll hear more from them in just a second. And last but not least, in anticipation of things finally getting back to some semblance of normal, I reached out to Hofbräu Brewery in Munich, Germany, and actually expressed an interest in having an October festival here in Mountain Park. And they were all on board. They flew a gentleman in from New Jersey, and they had the local distributor, General Wholesale, all come and meet with us. I have a couple of German families that are live in the area, the Einachers, Bob and Elizabeth, and then I have some friends from Brookfield, Hans and Heidi, and Gisela, and that's our steering committee, and we've all met with them, and we're now just in the process of seeing if this is actually something we can pull off, and what they're going to be able to do for us, and what we need to do to make it happen. So we're not committed like a pig to bacon yet. It's more of a chicken to an egg. If it doesn't work out, we can walk away from it, but we certainly feel like this would be a great fall activity for us to be able to have here in the community. And we're looking right now strongly at October 23rd. So that's the date that we've kind of penciled in on the calendar for the Oktoberfest. And that does it for the mayor's report. Are there any reports for council members?
Nothing.
All right. City Hall.
Just a couple of things. The month of May, we had May the 4th, the monthly staff meeting for the comp plan update. May the 6th was the comp plan survey committee meeting. The comp plan survey went live on May the 6th. An email was sent out to those individuals who have signed up to receive newsletters, citizens' communication systems. It will be in this upcoming newsletter, which we hope to get out Friday, so that it'll have an entire little over a week once the survey closes June the 6th. If we don't feel like it's not enough time, we can always ask for a few more days. I don't think that June 6th is necessarily set in stone, but we're trying very hard to make that deadline. And then, as Brandon referenced, to May the 12th, he and I attended the meeting with the Roswell attorney, the Fulton County attorney, the Fulton County Sheriff's Office ranking officials, and the chief and the fire chief of Roswell. We also obviously had the budget hearing here May the 12th for the first read of the budget, review of the budget. May the 13th, I logged on to a webinar by the Office of the Treasury for the American Rescue Plan Act. Got a little bit of information, and then also another round of information, or just more in-depth information. On May the 20th, GMA held their own little webinar on the ARP instructions. I did receive from the state office, governor's office of planning and budget, on the 11th or 12th of May, the preliminary steps to go ahead and be qualified to receive these funds, because we are going to be considered a non-entitlement entity. So those documents were completed and submitted on May the 13th to the Office of Planning and Budget. The things that will be allowed are responding or mitigating the health emergency with respect to COVID-19 emergency or its negative economic impacts, providing government services to the extent of the reduction in revenue, and that would be capped at 75% of the revenue. Making necessary investments in water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure, and this might be an area where we look to use these monies. And also to responding workers performing essential work during COVID-19 by providing premium pay to eligible workers of the entity that were involved in essential work. So those are the four things that you can use these monies for. I'll know more about it as we go on, but those are the two opportunities I've had so far to find out what this is and where we go from here, and so far we're in the queue, so I'll keep you posted.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for a good solid report there. Anybody have any questions for the city administrator? Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to make sure everybody in here has completed that survey that she's mentioning, the Atlanta Regional Commission survey, because you said it's going to end June
6th,
and it is a very big deal. It is a plan for going ahead in our future. And we need your input. Very important. If you haven't done it, there's a link in utility billing, and I don't know, did y'all put one on the city website?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's do a CCS blast, email blast as a reminder.
Yeah. We will, getting closer to.
Right, right.
We're going to put it in the newsletter again.
For June.
And then before, you know, the week before, we'll probably send out a couple of more reminders just to get everybody on board.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good. That it? All right. Thank you. As I stated during the budget discussions and in some prior meetings, I personally feel like the ideal thing for the city of Mountain Park and the citizens of Mountain Park would be to have a strong, solid, consistent presence of our Mountain Park Volunteer Fire and Rescue in the community, that are close, that are here. We all know in some of the dire situations we've been in the past, although we've had the benefit of help from outside of the community in some situations, there were others where the other community citizens took precedent over us, and we were very fortunate to have the folks from MPVFR here to help us when we were checking to see if everyone was okay. We had situations that were dangerous, like intersections with power lines down, and everyone stepped up to help make sure that no one else in this community or no one in this community got hurt. You know, so we've always benefited from that. I know that in the recent past, we've had some question about how much consistency we've had. But I think that at the end of the day, I think the ideal thing would be to see what we need to invest in MPVFR and how we can do that for them to get back to where they were when we had a strong, solid presence. Because I ultimately think that instead of just giving the money to Roswell, we would be better served by having a mutual aid agreement, which is still a consideration. And it would actually be a better investment of our tax dollars to have MPVFR be a solid entity that's this close and readily available to help us, even for the, I've locked my keys in my car or my cat's stuck in a tree, maybe not that innate, but we certainly would have some situations where I don't think Roswell would be readily and willing to come and support us or service in that respect. But there are things that that MPVFR could maybe address while they're here. So with that said, I'm going to ask the representatives of MPVFR to come up. Tell us a little bit about what's going on. Erica, you going to come?
I drew the short straw tonight.
All right, well, come on up, and then you can introduce the other gentlemen that are with you.
I will do so. I figure standing over here is probably the best place so that I can see everybody. My name's Erica Dame. I am the interim fire chief's wife. I am also the administrative lead for the fire department. I have been with Mountain Park since about 2005, when I first met James. So I have some longstanding history here. We've been through ups and downs with the fire department. We were in the John and Carla era when I joined, and man, we have come a far cry from everybody being able to, A, live here in the park, and B, have so much more time that they can devote to it. Unfortunately, we have had some slip in our attendance, and just as much as everybody else is sick of the COVID excuse, I'm going to be honest and tell you that that's really our biggest downfall right now. Our numbers were up. We were providing our numbers for staffing, for responses. We had to do, James and I had to do extensive reports for you guys several times, and I don't have those numbers with me, so I apologize. But we've done really well, no, not in the last year. We have not. These guys and gals are on full time with other departments, and they were being not only tasked to their own 24-hour shifts, they're having to cover other people's shifts, which means 48 hours, so they're only getting 24 hours off before their next shift, and sometimes you just gotta take care of home too, and you gotta recover. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't want to be here. We want to be here. We want to serve Mountain Park. These guys and girls are not on this department for show. They do it because they want to, they do it because they love it, and they want to be here to support you all. Okay, complete.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I like, and I met that gentleman, I think it was you in the meeting on Thursday night, and you are post-certified?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this gentleman, we talked about the fact that Sheriff Labatt was interested in having officers, deputies, in this area, and we're looking for post-certified individuals. They said they don't have to be post-certified, they would certify them and provide them with a vehicle, and I think it would be incredibly beneficial for us to have not only a fireman but a deputy that would be in the area. He could park his car right down here in the parking lot so that everybody flying by here cutting through could see it. And I certainly think that would help our some of our issues with traffic type situations as well. So I just wanted to put that out there. We need to reach out and see if Sheriff Labatt's office is ready to start talking to you about this.
Sorry about that, Mayor. I dropped the ball on that. He and I did speak on Thursday, and I said that I would follow up with the three of us on Monday.
It's okay. It's been kind of a busy, crazy schedule.
It was a busy Monday. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. It's only Monday. So.
You're right. But one thing that I do want to bring to y'all's attention is I know that it seems like all we ever do is ask for money. We don't really want to ask y'all for money. We try to limit as much as possible. We have sought how many grants? We've gotten our gear.
And adding to the insurance from the flood. So for example, the engine, the SCBA packs and the compressor, the thermal imaging camera, and I was trying to look the other ones, and then of course, because of the flood, the insurance money was used to basically refresh all of our gear at that one time. And that's one of the issues is that when we do get a grant, normally, as we discussed, Mr. Mayor, like for example, our gear, we try and rotate one or two sets a year so that we don't try and hit the city with a very large single payment. But when we do get something like a grant, for example, the SCBAs, that was a 15-year cycle for those cylinders, and they were all acquired at once, and we couldn't really get them replaced immediately. So that's why that type of number is coming through. The other one that you're forgetting, and I shouldn't be forgetting, is our radios, which again, we were able through grants and through trade-in deals and situations, we were able to refresh the entire radio stack from the original gear that was held together with bubblegum and baling wire when I joined to the equipment that we had just prior to them saying that we had to do TDMA. And again, we had a complete set, and we had to ask for at least the minimum number of radios so that we can maintain our communication, which is a requirement.
The other thing, sorry.
I don't know why we were on that. I spoke to James for about an hour one day. And now, does that mean that most of the radios are good to go, or are you still, he was talking about quite a bit of money that needs to be spent.
That is, yes, ma'am. So
on fighting gear, the, he said the fire resistance leaves after a while. On,
I was going to get to that. Yeah. Why don't you handle the radios?
Sure. So basically, when we had finished our work with getting trade-ins and donations and everything else, we had a complete set of radios. That meant that every firefighter that was, we have every seat we have on every apparatus, we had a radio for them if they responded the full complement. Every apparatus had a radio, the station had a radio, and every officer, there are basically five officer positions, and every one of those officers had an assigned radio. So there was never trying to fight or trying to get a radio. When we did ask for that, we got what was considered the bare minimum, which I believe was the five radios as well as the apparatus and the station. We would still be in a potential situation if we had a full-on fire with full staffing levels that we would not be able to have one radio for each person. Again, we're in the midst of this transition, so it is not the primary issue that it is considering compared to some of the other issues. But that is a concern at some point, is that we do need to go ahead and finish out those radios. But again, we're trying not to ask for everything all at once.
Well, let's do some recruiting, and then
we'll
need radios. Let's get the staffing up, and that'll come. So.
Right. So as to the gear, I went through our inventory today, and they all have what they are and the date that we acquired them. They're only good for 10 years. We have five full sets of gear that are active, able to put somebody in to go into a building or respond to a call.
That's it.
We have five other people that have no gear. Now what that means is we may have one person who's sitting shift that is able to respond to a call, but there may be three other people there that can't respond because they don't have gear. I can't ask these guys and girls to go into a burning building in expired gear.
But do you have those people on board now, or you're looking for them?
We have them.
You have them? So we need to be refreshing the gear.
The question is, you said you have five sets of gear. This is not interchangeable. You can't, obviously there's size limitations, but
that's where it becomes an issue.
So they're custom to each firefighter or thereabouts?
So when we order gear, it's, you order for somebody like Barrett, who's been here forever. somebody who's been here forever gets that gear because, yes, it is going to be somewhat tailored to them and their size. But his old gear, if it's still in service, would get passed to a recruit or somebody who's going maybe down to JITStick to get training or just to, you know, train around here. It doesn't have to actually see fire or anything like that.
Do we swap gear? Do we trade gear to make sure that people on ship have gear? Yes. Does it always fit? No. Do you like wearing someone else's clothes after they have worn them without being washed? So we're used to that. To be perfectly honest, we do share a lot. But
we do swap gear, but also with that comes MIA gear.
Right.
Or, you know, hey, my hood's missing. Mm. Or my gloves are missing. Where's, you know, who was wearing my gear because they probably got my gloves? Well, I didn't take your gloves. I only took your coat. Well, your gloves are probably with the coat.
And if you see us on a scene and you see us coming in and we've got like big pockets everywhere, we keep gear in those. We keep tools, rescue supplies, all sorts of things in there. And each firefighter sets it up to their own personal knowledge. So if someone else borrows it, they're going to take stuff out and put stuff in. So that when the time comes and they know, like I'm left-handed, you're right-handed, as I recall. So I turn these, I grab with my left hand, things I grab with my right hand. So if we swapped, it may not get back quite the same, which could in itself be a minor issue in the future, not just missing, but in the wrong place. But again, we are as part of our effort. We'll trade out gear. If he can fit in mine, you know, look kind of. But I would still do that as needed to make sure that if he's available and I'm not, then he's using my gear.
But it's something that we have where they have to tell us that they're doing that, so we have a record of who's doing what.
So you track them, right? That's good.
Right. So it's not like a, oh, I got this call, let me go grab Kreiner's gear. No, it doesn't work like that, you know?
I learned something from James that I didn't know. We used to have an ambulance, but you never had the permission to transport to hospitals. So it was just mainly, what is that?
We had an ambulance, but we didn't do transport.
That's right.
It was a vehicle.
You didn't do transport, so.
The squad?
Right. But one of the very old ones was, in fact, a Roswell ambulance that had been converted to be used for our squad.
So it carried equipment and things you needed for strokes and victims and all that. So do we need an ambulance, or can all that go on the truck?
Well, that's not an ambulance, what we've got in there. That's our squad.
I thought we sold the ambulance. I thought the ambulance was gone.
I think I get what she was asking. So your question is,
we don't need another ambulance, in other words.
Yeah, because Roswell doesn't transport either. They use AMR.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who responds, whether it be Roswell or Mountain Park, if you have to go to the hospital, it's not going to be one of our men or Roswell's men transporting. Right. It's going to be a third party, which is AMR.
What does AMR stand for?
Atlanta Metro.
Atlanta Metro.
Rural response.
It's the RMA, rural metro.
I know, I'm like, they switched their letters. I'm sorry.
Maybe Atlanta Metro response.
All right, so before you got, unless you've got something you want to add, I just want you to talk about recruiting for a minute and talk about, you know, what it is you think would be the most effective recruiting approach and where your recruits come from.
So we actually have a gentleman on Thursday join us who had interviewed with us or applied with us before, and I guess it didn't pan out. I'm not sure what happened, but he ended up going down to Baldwin County, getting certified. He is actually about to take his national registry test for RN, mm-hmm. which doesn't help us in the field. He can't respond as a nurse in the field. However, he is looking to move back up here and wants to keep his fire certification. So he wants to just volunteer.
And we may be one of the opportunities that he can utilize. There may be others. We had a great conversation with him. He's the type of person we would absolutely love to have, and hopefully we get an opportunity to have him. But again, part of that, and I'll just mention that a little bit. So it takes about 6 months. We had this discussion. It takes about 6 months to get somebody to from first in the door. We have to go through everything from background check, physical, medical, and then find out what skills they come with. And then based on that, then there's a certain period, it's a minimum of 3 months, to just basically working with us, training with us. And then it's normally about 6 months total if we have to send them down to an academy or over to Cherokee or get them into a basic medical program before that we can consider them as a full member. So we have about a 6 month window. So literally, if we start recruiting today, if we had people that came today, we would be looking at about 6 months from now.
And really, that would be like a fast-track person, to be honest with you, because as I relayed to Mayor and Mr. Hendricks, I don't let people go down to Dipstick on y'all's money, our money, just because they're like, hey, I want to come join. Right. You're going to put in about 12 months for me before I'm going to agree to let you go. Because I recognize that there's other places, but I'm just saying, when we actually put that money to go down to Dipstick, I want to know that their heart's in it and that they're not just after getting what they need out of it or what they want out of it. I'm going to get your service too.
One thing, just to make sure it was clear, when we say Dipstick, that's Georgia Public Safety Training Center. It's down in Forsyth, Georgia. We shortcut all the time. And it's basically, if you think of it almost like a community college, where the state sends all of their individuals that want to get fired, EMS, police, jail, all that, and it's basically you go in and you get the official classes for the state, and a lot of those credentials are also nationally recognized as well. So we are very careful. We are granted a certain number of slots where we can send an individual from our department to that, and basically they cover most, if not all, of the costs, but we have to cover things like
food and travel.
Transport.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And I think I shared this with Mayor, and we the two guys almost 2 years ago that went down to Fire Academy, 8 weeks, no pay. They paid their own way because we couldn't, and we had a moratorium on our training, so we weren't able to sign up. We could sponsor them. We could say, yes, you can say that you're with our department, and we'll, you know, sign off, but we can't afford, we can't pay for you guys to go. So they made that decision on their own.
They did the same thing for their medical as well. They found classes down in the range, and they would go once or twice a week on their own dime, paying for the course, and paying for the state test afterwards.
So, just to, and we said it would take, if from today, if someone walked into the door today and said, it'd be about 6 months at the earliest. Now, given what happened, we again, I'll hate to use the word COVID and the thing and that, but basically, those training centers shut down all of last year. So individuals that we were recruiting towards the back end of 2019, we sort of got most of them through, but we weren't able to recruit during that period because we had nowhere to send them. And so now they're opening back up, and we're now...
We've actually gotten a couple emails and, and contact requests from Facebook to ask us, you know, like, hey, we want to join. And to be honest, we kind of held back because we weren't quite sure what was going on. I mean, you know, we didn't want to bring somebody in on a Thursday, like, yeah, come join us, and then Friday find out that no, we're not going
to
be here.
We're all kind of twisting the wind a little bit, waiting on things to finally settle down. We don't know what's going to happen. But here's what I can tell you. As far as, the fundraising, there's got to be other ways. The October Festival I talked about, one of the first things that Hopprow said was, do we have a 501c or a charity we can raise money for? And of course, Watershed Preservation Society. But then I thought, what about the fire department? You know, we could raise money for it.
Now,
families can sponsor the training or the gear for one individual. So there's a lot of ways the community, I think, can pitch in, and we can work together on this without just taking tax dollars and spending money like that. I think there are a lot of folks that feel strongly about MPVFR, so I think that we need to get real creative on how we approach the recruiting and how we approach the funding.
Okay.
And we can keep, even if we do end up working with Roswell, the fact of the matter is that's up for review every year, and they are just as likely to say, nah, we're not going to do it anymore, as they are, we will. So we don't know. And I think it's just a safe bet that we don't just automatically assume that this is going to happen, so you guys are gone. Yes, ma'am.
Now, James said that you all are not 501c.
I was going to. We are not
501c. Most people think they are, but
we are not.
Okay, so maybe we can...
But there's well, totally tax.
Yeah.
Free entities.
There you go. Yeah, that's great. That's what I was going to say. But maybe we shouldn't call it a 501c.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. So, but you're still, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm curious as to how many you all have on staff and volunteering now, and then how much we would need to be fully functioning.
So we currently have 10 active operational. I am not in that number. And like I said earlier, only 5 of them have a full set of gear. How many people do we need? That's probably a James question, unfortunately. I didn't really.
If we had an ideal number, we have a total of 9 seats in our apparatus. So 9, and it would probably be 9 times 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
I'm just thinking.
6 and a squad.
What are you
thinking?
6
and a squad. I'm thinking. So I'm sorry. So 8 total seats. And so an ideal situation would be 8 times 3 is 24. That way no one person would be overworked on that. So that would be sort of an ideal number.
Yeah.
Garrett, I realize you live down the street. This group of 9 people. Where are they located, please?
Chad Miller lives in Willow Tree, or is very close.
Right.
I think he may have moved. You live in Willow Tree. You're around the corner. Sarah's in the park. Tony, I'm not sure, but he works for Woodstock, so he comes and staffs after or before shift. Kurt,
he lives in Herd, but he comes up to staff.
Yeah, he specifically.
So to get to a call. Call. And everybody was where you are, but not here. Because you're not here, you know that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to tell stories.
I didn't
But
we need to talk about that. I mean, my nephew's a firefighter, I love it. So we have to talk about this realistically. So we made a call tonight. I'll see what somebody did here. Based on what Jim says, Roswell's not coming, okay?
No, Roswell is coming. Right now, we have, if it's a threat to life or property, Roswell is responding, correct?
I am just curious, with Roswell, over the years we've used it, have they ever, I mean, there's always that, hey, there's a chance Roswell won't do this for us anymore. Has that always been the case, every time we renewed?
Have we, not until they told us they needed $242,000 to continue to.
We haven't renewed in 10 plus years.
Okay, I didn't know. I was just questioning. So my question is, Roswell's available.
Roswell will respond unless they are unable to get in or technically out of Mountain Park.
How often have they not been able to get in or out of Mountain Park?
Every ice storm, every tornado, every hurricane.
They were here at the last storm because they were overrushed. I'm just asking realistically, there's a call. Someone, their possessions are on fire. They're scared.
Mm-hmm.
How long will it take for you individuals to get in your car, to drive over here, get this apparatus out, moving out? How many people do you need for that? One, five, six, five can only wear uniforms. We have five radios. I mean, what realistically will get there, get the job?
Well, there is no quick fix for the situation we currently have. It's going to take,
But I know February 19th, I found a sheet. We were talking radios. That was going to do the trick. It's now 2021 May. We're still talking about this. So we need to make a game plan that's either one way or the other. They were kicking this can, Jim, and we know we're kicking this can.
Well, Nancy, what I'm telling you is that one, we don't have a deal with Roswell. So, we've got to have something that gives us a mutual aid agreement. And two, even if we have a deal with Roswell, that doesn't mean we can't still figure out a way to support these guys until they can. Well, it is, but there's alternatives to just paying tax dollars. If that can be done, then we can, we can look at that. The grants, Roswell has offered to let us use their grant writing department. So we can even take more advantage of that. This gentleman had his hand up first, and then.
From what I understand with conversations with Chief James, is that the firefighters are no longer on beeper. Like in the old days, there was beepers because guys lived close by and had latitude to come serve. From what I understand, if they're not here, we're not rolling, correct?
It is not. So back 15 years ago, officers had lights and sirens in their car, and they could race traffic with their lights and sirens and legally get here, within a matter of minutes.
They charge it right there.
Anyway, what we were working towards in 2018-19 was having staffing 90% of the time. Now we are volunteers. We cannot staff 100% of the time.
I appreciate you guys. No, I'm not busting it, but you are volunteers.
Correct.
That's what you are.
Yeah. How long does it take from a person who is a volunteer who does not live in the city of Mountain Park that live in other cities outside of Mountain Park? How long does it take that person or woman, when she gets the message there's an emergency, to get in their car, to drive here, get in their equipment, get the truck ready, and answer?
My point was those calls don't go out. If the guys aren't here, no one's rolling. So no one's beepered, no one's called. If there's no one in the fire station.
Benjamin, he's next. He wanted to make a comment to that.
Yes, sir. I wanted to address what both of them said, you, Mr. Murphy. And like Erica was saying earlier, we hate to use COVID as a big excuse. But prior to that, we had almost 24-hour staffing here because we had the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so, as a matter of fact, when me and Chad spoke one time, we had one or two people that was here to the point where it was rumored that they were living at the station because they were here so much. Mm-hmm. And so we had those numbers, but then we went into sort of a quarantine. because outside of the department, we had our potential exposures. And so it was, if you were on recruit status, you know, we cut that down to basically active members that can respond only at the station. But when you do that, you kind of tie it down to having to work around our work schedule because we got pulled to our, you know, prospective jobs. Like, I work in children. And so my shift doubled at that. And so with recruiting and you know, opening back up and things like that, when we get those numbers back up to where we can get that staffing back to where we had it, you know, almost 24 hours a day, sometimes people, you know.
Which is what we had when John and Carla were here. We had, you know, we had an acceptable level of staffing. We still had the mutual aid with Roswell. We were not paying Roswell $101,000. We were investing in the fire department, and we had people here, but we also had the support, the backup of Roswell, correct?
One thing that I would like.
What are you doing? When the Italians come back. All right, Linda, you, Linda, Tiana first, then Eric.
Go ahead with your question.
So to answer your question, and we weren't being, we wanted to get that clarification. If I was alerted, I'm available to respond from my house to get down here 5 minutes, get the truck rolling and get to another location, generally in our area, about 5 more minutes. Previously when we were alerted and were able to come down here, even though with that 10 minutes, we'd still beat Roswell most of the time. So just be aware.
You as one person, you show up, you're in a truck, you get out, you roll a hood.
You can't roll a truck with one person.
Yes, I can.
You can?
We're a volunteer department. I can roll a truck with one person.
I thought I was told you could.
For a responding fire.
That is true, yes. You didn't qualify that, I'm sorry.
What did you say? For responding to a fire.
That's mine.
And I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
All right, let's remember. We're talking about when they're up and running like they were before so they can have people in here. Right now, they can't do what you want them to do, but they have to get up and running, and when they do, they're going to be our old fire department, hopefully. And I wanted to address this two y'all have for being in our community, which helps our mortgage insurance. A lot of people don't believe that, and State Farm doesn't do it because you're volunteer, but Roswell used to be volunteer just how many years ago? But the two really gives me a deduction in my mortgage insurance.
All right.
Can I add one more?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I just want to qualify that, yes, you're right. We could not respond immediately. But what we had built up was having somebody here so that they weren't running from outside of the city.
I understand that. I just, several years ago, Sarah, and I love Sarah, stood back here and said how busy she was. And it was hard to come and be here as well. I live in reality. I understand that. I work, too. It would be hard for me to come here. I get that. So I just want to make sure, as taxpayers, that we're going to get what we're paying for, right?
It's going to be okay.
That it's going to be okay. And you would, too.
It's going to be okay.
Of course. I can fully respect your position.
I don't have anyone paying for my way to get to work or school or training, and I never have, tax-wise. So I just
want to
know, Jim, we're just trying to get some information.
Yes, and I appreciate that. And let me just say this, because Mark had his hand up. We can talk about this all night, but we're not going to.
Okay.
We got a whole agenda of things here we got to get to, so I just wanted them to have the opportunity to come in, say some things, answer some questions. So if anyone has a question, you want to go ahead and ask yours?
I was just going to make a point, which is kind of, I think, where you wanted to go. This conversation may be a bit premature, because nothing matters until Roswell tells us this is what we mean by what you guys have to do. Because they made it very clear on their video calls, there was going to be no wink, wink, yeah, you guys are there. We have a mutual aid agreement. I came with the impression Roswell's going to be very very focused on exactly what, how we need to be staffed for them to say, okay, you're capable of providing mutual aids. So to me, that's what we need to refine.
Well, and I can appreciate what you're saying. I certainly think there is going to be a certain standard, but I think what the point was that I took, my takeaway from that was, is that it was not a one-way street, that all they're going to do is respond down here, we're not going to pay them anything.
Right.
It's going to be mutual, and they know that, what, 60, 80% of the time, you guys were going into Brookfield, into Roswell, into other areas. So the point was, it is a mutual where it's going to go both ways. Now, we aren't going to be able to do as much mutualing as they're going to make. They may do because they're a larger entity, but...
And my point is, we need to know what that mutuality means and how much it costs us to do to make a fact.
Have they stated at any point in this whole process what requirements we would have to meet?
No, and you know, my communications have been mainly with the city attorney, but you know, he understands statistically, you know, you guys are going to Roswell more often than Roswell is coming here, and that matters. You know, that's important because I know we constantly talk about, you know, the big fire, but your most common call is a medical emergency or something like that, which, you know, you all, as I understand it, are pretty competent to or qualified to respond to most of the time, right?
All right.
Now, I would like
to speak. All right, you get to go last.
I'd like to speak to what Mark said. Mark puts a little negative swing on things. I don't want them to see, hear any negative. We want them, even if we get Roswell, we still want them. A lot of benefit when we're snowed in here, we've got them. It's a great benefit. And Laura Henry, a friend of mine, I knew her back in the 80s when I worked for Commissioner Lowe, and her friend called me because she was concerned that I was having some negative feelings about the Roswell Fire Department, and I said, absolutely not. And the thing is, that she said in the day when y'all were really strong, you could help them fight fires. And when you slacked off, when we quit giving you the money you needed, I want everybody to know that. We did quit giving them the money they needed. They had to slack off. That's when Roswell got upset, and that is when she said she upped the services to 200 because y'all were not being any help. And I want that clear to everybody. That's what it's all about.
Well, so again,
need them with Roswell.
This is all about information, like you said, Nancy, answers, finding out where we are, where we need to be, how we can, and ideas, brainstorming, not blamestorming, about how we get there. And the fact is, and you know, unless this gentleman to my right knows something I don't, it doesn't sound like we've got a definitive answer yet. The agreement that we're waiting on from the attorney is strictly between Roswell and Fulton County Sheriff's Department. It doesn't even have anything to pertain to us. It's how they're going to work together, and then once they figure that out, correct me if I'm wrong, then we go back to the table to figure out
where we fall.
Where we fall into that thing. They needed to figure out how they were going to work together before we could even talk about where we come into the mix. So I appreciate. Go ahead, one more comment, and then we're done.
I got a question for your city attorney.
Yes.
Is there any implications for us having people come in and potentially being exposed to COVID if they're vaccinated or unvaccinated, where we as the department or the city could be liable for any kind of thing that may come from that? Because that's where I said no on recruits coming in, because at that time numbers were high and people were getting sick left and right. And that was a problem, but.
I am not terribly worried about financial risk from that.
Okay.
You know, we've been through a pandemic, bad things happen, we can't control everything. I think people know that. Two, we have insurance. So what I would like to see, and I'm sure you are doing, is being aware of the CDC guidances, the governor's directions on that, and follow those to the best of your ability.
So I guess what I'm more talking about, people that we might be recruiting coming in, people that are not on the department as a member. Some outsiders coming in that may not realize that their inherent risk just went up by, you know, I don't know, 100%. You know what I mean? Does that...
Well, I can't imagine that COVID is more dangerous than going into a fire.
No. I'm saying as far as, like, just walking in and, like, hey, I want to join. I want to, like, participate in training and go through all those steps.
Why don't we do this? Instead of, you know, instead of trying to spitball it here, send me an email and we'll get him to opine on that, you know, because that's an important thing.
That was why I also didn't have people, recruits coming in. We kept it to our active members, so.
Thank you, folks, for being here tonight, and we'll see you. We may ask you to come again, and we may dedicate a meeting to just the Q&A, and citizens can come down and talk to you. Let's do that.
Thank you.
He likes to talk. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to the rest of the agenda. We've got a couple of unfinished business to start with, and I'm gonna just say these are fairly innocuous. You know, I think if you were at the work sessions, you know that the SDS agreement with Cherokee County, actually nothing in this that we're changing or that is changing, it affects us.
And it is final.
And it is final? Do we have that? Okay. So, we have the final SDS agreement from Cherokee County, and Chair will entertain a motion to approve the implementation of the service delivery strategy with Cherokee County.
I'll make that motion.
All right.
Second.
All right, motion by Councilman Carlson, second by Councilman Dixon. All those in favor? And it's unanimous. Thank you. Next one is the creation of a new article pertaining to the irrigation, Ordinance 335-21. This is those ordinances that are being required by the state. So, Chair will entertain a motion.
Okay, all three of
them? We got to do them individually.
Okay. I make a motion for the consideration of the second read of the creation of a new article, Chapter 105, Subpart B.
All right, do I have a second? Second by Councilman Murphy. All those in favor? And it's unanimous. Thank you. All right, repealing and replacing Subpart B pertaining to stream buffers. Chair will entertain a motion.
Okay, I make that motion for consideration of the second read for repealing and replacing Subpart B, Chapter 105, Article 8, pertaining to stream buffers, Ordinance 336-21.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Councilperson Dixon again. We got her twice in here. All those in favor? Any opposed? Okay, I'll let you in. All right. Number four, reading, repealing, and replacing Chapter 109, Subpart B, related to floods.
Yeah, make the motion for consideration of the second read for repealing and replacing Chapter 109 of Subpart B related to floods, Ordinance 337.
Second.
Second.
Councilperson Silver.
She beat her.
Yes. All those in favor? And it's unanimous. Thank you. Just a formality, folks. We don't even have a choice in these things. I don't know. Can we even vote these down?
Well, we can, but there are consequences, which we don't.
All right, new business. Item number one, first read of the general and enterprise fund budgets. Chair will entertain a motion.
Make a motion. We accept the first read of the general and enterprise fund budgets.
All right. All right, we have a motion by Councilman Hendricks. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilperson Silver. Discussion? All those in favor? And it's unanimous. Thank you. All right, special date for variance, consideration of variance at 122 Cardinal Drive. We need a little more time to get this prepared, so we're going to put a special call meeting on the calendar at some time in the future. Please look at your calendars real quick, and let's see if there is. And I was thinking first week of June, that, you know, the second or third. Karen, there's something going on that Wednesday night.
Second is court.
Okay. Is Tuesday night open? Oh, no. Okay. The third Thursday or
the Thursday,
or we can do it the following week. Does anybody have any conflicts?
I am out.
What day?
The following week.
Okay, so you're out starting when?
Starting this Thursday till next Saturday.
This Thursday, which is till next Saturday.
So that's the 27th through the 6th.
Jerry, are you in on the night? You're in on the night?
I am.
Is the night okay with the,
We need to get back to you on that.
Okay.
What day does that fall on?
That's a Wednesday, June 9th.
We'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning.
Is council okay with that, the 9th? Does anybody have any conflicts? All right, so we're gonna hear from you tomorrow, and then, we'll be prepared to call for the special call meeting to address that. Very good, thank you. Pencil it in, Karen, for the 9th.
Okay.
All right, consideration of recession of the...
Recession.
Yes, recession.
This is my call.
Just do the motion.
Consideration of the rescission of the contract agreement with Ramboll for Lake Cheerful sedimentation study resulting from Beazer Home Improvement.
We have a motion, we have a second. Second by Councilperson Hendricks. Discussion. Basically, with the way we are progressing, we don't feel like we need to spend this money. At this time, we have engaged the gentleman that was referred to us, and it seems like we're making really good progress, so I'm hoping that this money can be better spent on something else that the city needs worse than another engineering study. So, all those in favor? And it is unanimous. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion for the approval of agreement with Schnabel Engineering in the amount of $1,200.
Yes. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Second by Councilperson Hendricks. And discussion?
This is a consulting agreement for the guy that's going to stand in with Jen and meet with their people to get a better...
Right. We already had one meeting, and he is ready to meet again if we need him. So he's been very cooperative and very active with us. So any other questions?
No question.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to acknowledge the help that Mr. Kohlbrenner had provided in getting us. I'm not supposed to say anything.
I said it earlier. Yes. It's worth repeating, and we appreciate the referral.
I wanted to express appreciation.
Yes. All those in favor? And it is unanimous. Thank you. All right. Civic Club request to hold free day at the pool. This has been kind of a traditional thing, I think. Is this opening day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good to kind of get people in there and they have a great time and they go buy a membership. So Chair will entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to honor the Civic Club request to hold a free day at the opening day of the pool, May 29th.
All right, that's second. Second by Councilperson Dixon. So you've got a lot of activities and things planned for that day?
Yeah.
Working on it. Very good. Very good. Anybody have any questions? All those in favor? Oh, you have one? Yes, quick.
Yeah, are you guys going to have anybody promoting pool tag sales for the following days, weeks?
No.
Bill? All right, guys, hang on. Does council member have a question? Hang on.
Okay, that question has come up, and the question came up, are we going to be selling pool memberships at that time? And I would have to clear that with Karen, I assume.
What day is that on?
It's Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. Is that something you need to look into?
Well, you're talking about handling cash money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And having to account for all the pool tax.
Yes.
I just...
Yeah, it makes you a little...
Can they buy them online?
We're working on that.
Yeah, they're working on that. But it has been done in the past, and I know we had a reliable person, and I just remembered it and thought, it's a thought.
We have a little bit. We can see if that's possible. We'll work on it. But I want her comfort level to be a little bit higher.
Yes.
She looks like she's in pain right now. So. I'm going to say no. Not yet. All right. All right. Yes, ma'am.
What if you had packets of the forms there for families to pick up?
And make it simple for them. That'd be the great thing to do.
Yeah, just keep it all simple. You
can answer questions if somebody says, well, what does this mean?
Yeah, just have something.
Good idea. Thank you, Donna. Anyone else? All those in favor? And it is unanimous. Looking forward to it. All right. And last but not least, ubiquitous pool leak detection. We have a leak, we need to stop the leak, but we have no pool, so Chair will entertain a motion to approve up to $2,200 for pool leak detection.
Make the motion for the pool of expenditure up to $2,200 for the pool leak detection.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Councilperson Dixon. All right, all those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. All right, is that everything? All right, is there any other comments that anyone would like to make to council before we adjourn?
I think we're going to have.
Yes.
I'd like to thank the City of Mountain Park and four neighbors who helped me stage a charity event yesterday. We raised over $80,000 by entertaining 600 cyclists in the city of Milton.
Oh, awesome.
For children's health care, I said.
You are hired.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
It's nice to see everybody's faces.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
That's yours.
Chair will entertain a motion.
I did make a motion to adjourn.
Second, Councilman Carlson.
All right, Carlson. You outdrew the ladies. Good here. Good man.
All those in favor, show of hands. It is unanimous. Thank you, folks. Good night.
Okay.